Welcome to the Office Space Podcast. I'm your host, Dougal Jeppy with Colliers International. And today our guest is Sue Lehman, Managing Director of Property Management at Colliers. Sue, welcome to the program. How are you doing on this rainy Friday morning, June 26th?
Well, thanks for having me, actually. I'm doing okay today. It's been a busy week, so I'm excited for it to be Friday, but I'm also looking forward to chatting with you today on the podcast. Thanks for having me.
Good. Well, busy week probably means you have some interesting things to talk to us about. So when I was thinking about the subject of property management, I asked our COO, who would be the best person to discuss trends in this area, and he immediately said you. So that would lead me to believe that you have a pretty good job security. Here are Colliers if you want it. So congratulations.
Woo-hoo.
You've got that endorsement. Today, I'd like to discuss what office building owners are doing to manage their buildings in this environment. We'll start with a brief introduction. So if you could tell us a little bit about your background and roles and responsibilities within Colliers, and then we'll get right into it.
Sure, no problem. So I've been with Colliers International for about 12 years now, possibly going on my 13th year. Fortunate enough to be working in a very busy and challenging time, but I help run our property management group together with our leadership team of Janine Reed and Lloyd Berry under Phil Stafford, and we oversee approximately 48 million square feet of commercial office and industrial properties across the Chicago metro area. I'm also our liaison with clients as it relates to new account development for certain asset groups and certain clients. And I work hand in hand with our property managers on an account management level and interface with them on what their needs may be. So we also run subsequent arms of engineering and construction management that we all just kind of divvy up responsibilities. So helping run our Chicago group here. In a nutshell, my background prior to coming to Colliers, I've been in the industry for several decades. And I've handled all different types of asset classes other than residential, which is one that Colliers promises me we won't necessarily do. So that's great.
Okay. Thank you for the introduction. So
sure.
Busy week for you. What are property managers dealing with right now, and what are building owners asking of you in this environment?
So it's been quite a challenge, right? Because this is all very new. So our property managers and their respective teams and engineers have been under intense pressure recently to get their properties, prepared for reoccupancy. As such, our clients really have been our partners in this, but certainly as they have concerns about, potential safety concerns for their tenants, as well as there's financial concerns as to what's related. We've really just been busy working on the things that we know we can implement, kind of more simple and less costly solutions that can make our tenants feel more comfortable from a safety perspective. So, we want to do everything we can as disease, but also, keeping the balance where the owners want to do the right thing, where they're optimizing their capital expenditures and operating expenses for all involved. So, with the four guidelines that were just released from the state of Illinois, it's just kind of at every stage and at every turn, there's new information. There's just a new influx of either requirements or actionable items. So it's been a very busy week from that perspective. And then, partly we deal with a combination of buildings in the suburban area as well as the Chicago metro area. And the city of Chicago has different guidelines that vary from the state of Illinois guidelines. So really just trying to comb through those and differentiate, whose jurisdiction, applies and where. So yeah, very, very busy week.
What are some of those distinctions you mentioned between the metropolitan Chicago and the state of Illinois?
So, you know, there's probably five, I mean, there are several distinctions, but I think that the ones that we've reviewed and really with the support of BOMA Internet, you know, BOMA Chicago, which sits on a board for the City of Chicago panel that's been helping them develop their guidelines, we really audited the differences. There's probably about five different categories. I mean, the most important one is probably not necessarily important, but the one that stands out most is like occupancy limits. So yeah, so I mean, the state and city differences, really the overall occupancy that the state is mandating is a maximum of 50% capacity, but the city is mandating a 25% cap on occupants in all indoor spaces, including tenant spaces. So, you know, I think that the big question is, how do you measure that? How do you monitor that? And there's been no directive on how that should be measured. And so what we're really doing is communicating with our existing tenants, as we have been throughout the COVID shutdown, and try to understand what their tenants' plans are. How many people are you bringing back and when? And you know, the constant theme amongst a lot of them is that they're still waiting to see, you know, how they're going to work through it. Internally, each of these companies are still working through their models and what the return to work looks like for them. So we're kind of a proactive approach, but also a reactive based on what we're going to see from our tenants.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
So there's just a couple other restrictions on gatherings, right? They're, mm-hmm. you know, those both remain the same at 50%. However, the city has enacted a spontaneous or planned event for more than 10 minutes. They've defined what a gathering is. So that's just an interesting addendum. On elevator modifications, there's discrepancy there. The state is stating that you should allow for 6 foot capacity, you know, 6 foot social distancing within an elevator cab. The city's guideline is a little looser. They're stating that you should optimize the elevator occupancy when practical. So there's kind of a lot of dialogue related to elevator occupancy as it relates to the fact that both the state and city are mandating face masks to be worn, so that for the short duration of time people are occupying an elevator cab and in a confined space, that, you know, it, you know, quote unquote acceptable or minimal exposure and risk. But again, both are suggesting that service elevators as well as stairwells be utilized for additional foot traffic. And we are seeing a lot of people. I mean, when I say a lot of people, a lot of the folks that have actually returned to the buildings.
And what are the, from a code perspective, what are you able to do with the stairwells, you know, from a fire code perspective, keeping them open and what's the distancing there?
So there is a suggestion that there's a 6 foot distance certainly remain when stairwells are being utilized. But we absolutely need to take into perspective what the fire life safety codes are, as well as security concerns, right? So, you know, you've got some tenants that access stairwells amongst their existing space and floors. Sometimes that these are typically locked down other than in a fire life safety situation, then everything goes fail safe. So each building has had to take a look at how they can implement the use of stairwells and working with their respective municipalities. So whether it's a city or, you know, that local suburban municipality to have that dialogue. And those entities have been very receptive to the stairwells. So, you know, I don't think that we've seen significant challenges there yet, but again, it's all based on what occupancy we've seen return to buildings. So it'll be something that plays out. And, you know, we don't have large numbers of people waiting for elevator cars either as of yet.
And how are you, from a capacity standpoint, how do you manage that? I mean, you can't have, you know, essentially stairwell police monitoring that. It's going to be, Is this on security? Is this a, are you going to be adding more staff into the buildings to accommodate this?
Really adding additional staff really in any place, it's going to be on the honor system and what people are comfortable with. So again, the elevators are still available and open, and we've got the social distancing kind of markers, whether it's floor markers or embedded into the, you know, the roll-off, walk-off mats or signage. But, you know, I think the people that are taking the stairs are the folks that are a little bit more comfortable controlling their own destiny and, you know, being in control of their own environment. So you can choose to take the stairs and put more distance between you and another person that you may not want to be in an elevator with.
Okay. And what are the building owners doing right now to, from a safety and cleaning standpoint, to accommodate all this? And then what are, have you seen any owners invest in any new technologies or infrastructures vis-a-vis, you know, filtration system, things like that? Or are they waiting to see how it plays out?
Yeah, no, there's been a lot of different solutions that have been implemented, like industry-wide, not necessarily building by building, but in the form of filtration, you know, increasing air exchanges. We've been looking at lots of different products to determine if they can effectively be implemented in a specific building, whether it's related to filter products, HEPA filtration, and even UV lighting has been kind of touted out. We're not condoning that nor recommending it. What we are doing is saying that because each building is individual and specific from an HVAC standpoint, we're really encouraging our building owners to engage with the MEP, the mechanical, electrical, plumbing consultant for that building to assess the building equipment and come up with the best recommendations and those proposed solutions. Some of the other things done and already implementing our automation for whether it be entry points, the high touch points, you know, like touchless technology, if it can be installed for doors and or elevator call buttons, microwave sensors for, and you can imagine all the different vendors that are coming out with these products that may have already been in use or may have been out there, but certainly now re-engaging based on the COVID concerns and what we can be looking at. You know, there's different costs involved. There's technology involved that may not be readily implemented, but we're definitely looking at that. But again, some of the simple and less costly solutions have already been implemented. There are some additional, like from an ongoing preventative maintenance type thing and more of a proactive cleaning solution is microbial applications that can be installed or implemented on hard surfaces. And they're kind of like a one-time installation and then ever at a threshold, whether it's a 6 month or a 12 month threshold, you reinstall the application, but they're antimicrobial substance solutions that help fight and reduce the presence of like bacteria and fungus and viruses. So they've been proven to be effective with other types of viruses, not necessarily the coronavirus, but many people have already started implementing those cleaning solutions. Kind of the two bigger names out there are MicroShield and NanoShield. And so on all the high touch points, right? You're not doing every tenant space. What you're doing is your high touch points, the door surfaces, elevator call buttons, within the elevator places people will touch, your common restrooms, et cetera, all of your high touch point areas. And again, you know, there's even newer technology that I don't claim to be an expert on, but the most recently is like the ion generation, plasma cluster ion generation that can be used to help filter air purification in confined settings, not necessarily in a tent. That's the building equipment, but like a smaller confined area, you know, like in an elevator cab, for example. But yeah, lots of new and interesting technology, lots of vendors, you know, wanting to get in front of us or get products in front of us. And it's really trying to vet out what the most cost-effective solutions are that can be effective.
So it sounds like increasing costs in the operating expenses. Are the landlords looking to push these costs on the tenants, or how are these going to be covered?
Yeah, so I mean, a combination. I mean, the owners certainly want to be cost conscious as it relates to the operating expenses as well as their own capital expenditures. But, you know, the combination of savings that some of our buildings based on low occupancy or no occupied spaces has been able to reduce on utility expenses, reducing, you know, not necessarily running the building mechanical systems as the buildings would be fully occupied. So there have been some savings warranted that can offset some of these additional expenses, like even the signage that's been necessary. So, I mean, right now we haven't seen huge significant increases, you know, significant increases, not even huge, but you know, they're again based on the savings that we've been able to maximize during the COVID shutdowns, that I don't know that anything would be, you know, would be impactful yet to the occupants. I think if you're looking at some major modifications that are not easily implemented in 30 or 60 days, right? Those are kind of more long-term planning. You have to look at construction or modifying certain building components. Those are probably more capital in nature.
Well, lots to consider. And I think, you had job security going into this. It seems like property management, facility management, and engineers are going to be even more important moving forward as this unfolds. So I really appreciate your time. And I hope you enjoy the weekend and then get back to making the buildings safe and operating well come Monday.
Oh, thanks for having me, Dougal. Appreciate taking the time, and you too. Have a great weekend and enjoy. Hopefully, we'll see the sun.
Okay, take care. Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.